Shall we start?
All right, it's 7:06.
Is that the gavel?
That's the gavel.
All righty.
Don't hurt yourself.
Call to order the Village of River Forest Historic Preservation Commission special meeting. Wednesday, November 15th, 2023 is at 7:05 PM. Luke, can you call the roll, please?
Chairman Franek.
Here.
Commissioner Forehand.
Here.
Commissioner Sager.
Here.
Commissioner Murr.
Here.
Commissioner Graham White.
Here.
Commissioner Krasinski.
Here.
And Commissioner Randall Ogden.
Here.
Thanks you all for showing up. It's not our normal time, and I had postponed it so that we could all get together and have a full discussion with everyone present on one or more of the items on our agenda. First order of business is the approval of the meeting minutes for our last meeting on August 24th. Does anyone have any comments, questions, revisions, etc.?
No.
Seeing none, is there a motion to accept?
Motion to accept.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Luke, could you please call the roll?
Chairman Franek?
Aye.
Commissioner Forehand?
Aye.
Commissioner Sager?
Aye.
Commissioner Murr?
Aye.
Commissioner Graham White?
Aye.
Commissioner Krasinski?
Aye.
And Commissioner Randall Ogden?
Aye.
All right.
Next, public comments. We have one member of the public here.
You want me to stand up?
I don't know. You don't need to stand up. If you could just talk loud enough so that we can pick you up on the recording.
I brought a little handout.
You can indicate your name and your residence address, please.
Sure. So my name is Sarah Hicks. I live over at 130 Forest Avenue. Right across the street from Washington Square Park. So that's what I wanted to talk to you about today.
Okay.
So I have lived across the street from the park for 22 years. I'm kind of attached to the park. And if you're not all aware, I did email the board about some plans at Washington Square Park. If you're not all aware, the park district wants, as proposed anyway, to build, and if you're not familiar with the park, I'll just say it's on the southeast corner. Tennis courts, grassy space. It's a little over an acre. But Park District wants to build three pickleball courts just to the north of the tennis courts, taking up, neighbors and I measure, about 32% of the green space. I do have some good news of that. They had their board meeting on Monday, which we were at, and they have now decided that they've tabled voting on it. They wanted to collect some more data as to pickleball usage and if this is really a proper location for it. And they also threw out some additional locations that they were considering in addition to Washington Square. So Washington Square, so we were very happy with that, but Washington Square is not off of the docket for them. It's still there. So I'm just here to talk to you about it. I thought I would take this opportunity since you're meeting just to go over all this. I want to go over the history of the park, if anybody doesn't know, into some really fun thing I found out recently. So the park, it was our first park in 1914, and it was designed by Jens Jensen in 1917, which we found out quite a while ago. But like I said, I've lived across the street for 22 years, so it's always a little bit of a mystery to me. So my house was not built until 1923, and most of the houses on my street were built even later than that. So it's kind of a mystery to me, like, why was this the first park? It's kind of down on the southwest corner. It's up against the railroad tracks. It's small, but it was the first park, and then it was so important that they got Jens Jensen to design it. And Jens Jensen, if you probably are mostly familiar with him, I mean, he's world-renowned landscape architect, designed Columbus Park, Garfield Park, Humboldt Park, and tons of things in Oak Park and River Forest, all along the North Shore, worked with Frank Lloyd Wright on some homes, and even did I just learned this too, it's been kind of fun for me to research all this. Track and field over at Oak Park and River Forest. It was Oak Park River Forest Township High School at the time in 1916. Scoville Park. So just really kind of neat. So I thought, you know, it's got to be something really special that they picked him to do this. So I wanted to figure out why. So I took a little trip over to the Oak Park and River Forest History Museum, which I'm ashamed to say I'd never been to before. I've lived here for so long. And it was totally fun. Was just trying to look up things on the park. And I found out that, and the curator knew the whole story, so basically started telling me the story, but back in like 1913, that little property of land, there was an ice company that was going to put a plant on that little square of property. And the village, people lived in the village, didn't want it for various reasons. They saw all the properties being bought up and developed, and also they were concerned about pollution from the plant, and they just decided, you know, we don't want this in our village. So they were trying to figure out a way to preserve the property. And there were various things that I had read that they were talking about condemning the property. But finally, what they decided is they said, you know, we should come up with some sort of a village body that's going to own these properties and manage the properties for all the village to enjoy. We want to create a park district. So they had a vote in August of 1913, should we create the River Forest Park District? And it was a big to-do for a couple of reasons. Number one, just for that, but also because it was the first time that women in the village were allowed to vote. And so they were all excited. They all came out. I was reading in the Oakleys. It was kind of fun how they were trying to make the polling place look really nice for the women and the kids. So they voted, and it passed. And so the park district was formed. And the very first thing the park district did was acquire this property, which was just awesome. And so then that kind of explained to me like why this was here and why it was so special. excuse me. So like I said, I'm here today to you, you know, just to see if there's anything that you can do to help with the property. I just feel like putting those pickleball courts would just really ruin the character of the property itself. I mean, it's kind of what I've learned from Jenis Jensen's design. He always has a grassy area that's kind of central to his designs. You can interact with nature. So if there's anything that you can do from a board standpoint, we would, my neighbors and I are kind of spearheading the saving the park. Anything you can do from a board standpoint, we'd appreciate it. Back in, and this is not the first attempt on the life of Washington Square Park, back in 2009, 2010, for those of you, if you weren't here, it was actually slated to become a parking lot. So the park district was going to buy the building that was now the dialysis center just to the south, make a rec center, if you remember, and then the park and tennis courts would become a parking lot. So my neighbors and I also kind of spearheaded the saving the park with that. And that's where I found out a lot of the information on just it was the first park and Jens Jensen. And the way I even found out it was Jens Jensen was a landscape architect from Oak Park who participated in the significant properties, forget the title of the survey that was from 2013 that she did. She participated in that for this property. She's the one that reached out to us and said, you know, your park is famous. And so we kind of collaborated with her and she came over and looked at the park. It was really kind of neat. Carly Getson was with me. So I also recently reached out to her, told her what was happening. So she very graciously offered to give any historical background that anybody may need on the park. So I'm just here to kind of talk about the park and if there's anything that you can do from a board standpoint. Oh, and one thing I do want to mention is one of my neighbors and I, we did this exact same thing. We came to the board back in late 2009 about the rec center and stood in front of the board, obviously different board, and explained what was going on. And if I remember correctly, they made a statement, I don't know what you would call it, but a recommendation that the grassy space of Washington Square Park be preserved. And then they also said, if it could be restored, like they would recommend that if it's possible. I believe, trying to remember the chairperson, I think her name was Laurel.
Laurel McMahon,
okay. So she was the chairperson at the time. So, if there's anything she could do as a board, we would just.
The board's not entirely different.
I'm sorry?
The board's not entirely different from 2009.
Oh, it's not. Okay.
No.
The two of us.
Oh,
Dave and I, okay. we are the originals back from 2007.
And I remember that, and we were very opposed to there because it was Jens Jensen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a, such a wonderful designer and a rare piece of his work and a good example of his work.
You
certainly have our backing on that because
okay.
It fits all the things of an historic, what needs historic protection.
Yeah.
When does the board meet again and when will this be on the agenda?
So that's a good question. They tabled it for now. They did not give a time frame. They said they need to collect more data on pickleball usage. They want to look at they had a couple of different things that they just threw out at the meeting in terms of other options. One is, there's another option still at Washington Square where they said, keep one tennis court and then put two pickle courts, you know, in the back, which would kind of ruin the little tennis court design because they never knocked down part of it. But they also talked about some of the space at Keystone, which they kind of mentioned since the other racket sports are over there, that was worth looking at. So, but they didn't say exactly when they were going to be voting on it. I think their meeting is, what, the second Monday, 6, I believe, something.
What do you remember, Dave, from that?
I don't specifically. I guess my thoughts are, first off, one, thanks for coming.
And offering
your thoughts. Our charge is to advise with respect to significant properties. I believe this is a significant property.
Right.
However, we don't do stuff that's speculative.
Okay.
So that we would have to get a proposal from the park district, then we would review that.
Okay.
So until then, everything is premature.
Okay.
In terms of whatever collectively we would discuss and determine.
Okay.
But yeah, it's on the radar.
Okay.
And, you know, yeah. Thanks for the info.
Oh, so I'm glad you brought it up. We do have a petition going around that I'm very proud to say we have almost 350 signatures on. So we've been walking around the village, kind of, nobody really knows that this is happening, and so we've been kind of spreading the word. So we're going to continue to collect signatures and still go to the board meetings and still just advocate for, you know, keeping the park the way it is. So we'll keep that. Our neighbors and I are going to keep pressing forward. But you know, we're just wondering if there's any way that if you, it'd be nice to take it off of their list now that they have some other things that they're talking about. So I didn't know if there's any way that you could weigh in on that, or it doesn't sound like it.
Okay. No, it's not timely at this point.
Okay. Very good.
But thanks.
All right, sure.
Thank you. Thank you for coming.
Okay. Next item. Contributing or noteworthy properties consideration for significant properties. Go back a couple of months. We had solicited a proposal from one of the architects who had done the original survey, Doug Gilbert, to do a modest update based upon Jan's research of, I think it's somewhere between 17 and 20 homes. He came up with an estimate, and David has graciously agreed to continue his photographic services. When I mentioned that to Doug, he said, okay, then I can reduce the amount of my proposal. And every little bit helps. I've given it to Luke, and he has passed it on, and we're sort of waiting for some information as to, at least preliminarily, whether that's something the village board has interest in, and then we can talk about it in greater specifics. Obviously, Doug was thinking about doing something this fall. I think we're kind of past that point. There are, you know, other fish to fry, as it were. So I think that's kind of where that all flies. So, the next item, discussion regarding the promotion of River Forest architecture history, the discussions regarding Martin Braun in the O'Verne neighborhood. A little bit of a background. As part of the process of doing her commendable research, Jan determined that many of the homes were developed by one individual as an architect and developer. His name was Martin Braun. And not knowing anything about Mr. Braun, and given the fact that we had discussed possibility of establishing a district of mid-century modern homes in that area, centered around homes of his design and construction, I thought it perhaps would be a good idea to do some additional research, try to get some background, because I don't think any of us were, I certainly wasn't, was particularly aware of this. And the information about Mr. Braun in the survey was actually fairly small in terms of the existing survey that was in the first volume. There are some brief biographical sketches of some of the architects and developers who are active in River Forest over the years. So to that end, Jan once again pressed forward, and she was able to come up through the Historical Society with a couple of items which are in your packet. They are disturbing. They are regrettably a product of their times, and probably something that impacted probably more homes in our community, in that they were disturbingly not uncommon. To wit, the deed contains a restrictive covenant, quoting, "No interest in any of said described real estate shall be conveyed, leased, or otherwise acquired by any person other than that of the Caucasian race, nor shall any person other than of the Caucasian race be permitted to occupy the said real estate other than domestic servants employed by the occupants thereof," close quotes. This is in one of the lots that Jan looked at through a brief examination title for that one lot. And there was also an advertisement, which you've been presented, and is entitled "Live in Tomorrow's Homes in River Forest's Newest Restricted Development" by Martin H. Braun. And it goes on to describe some of the amenities, a picture of the type of home, and talks to about a Forest Park realtor at the time who was apparently doing the marketing. I wanted to get everyone's thoughts about this topic. And again, thanks for all coming here so that we can just find what everybody has. This is obviously something of deep concern. Carla also mentioned that in her youth, she was the target of some of these restrictive covenants growing up in the Baltimore area, I guess. And she is Jewish. So, to that end, there's a whole bunch of different ways we can go.
Can I make some comments?
Please.
Okay. So after our last discussion, I went home and I was very curious about history of restricted covenants. And my God, it's so easy. You just Google it and everything comes out. And I found Shelley v. Kramer, a very famous Supreme Court decision, which decided that restrictive covenants were not legal, could not be enforced legally, although private citizens could enter into those contracts, but they could not be legally enforced. And then I went back to look at the advertisement, which I nearly threw up about after looking at this, and also the deed that the Browns had signed, agreed to. The Supreme Court decision was 7 months, I guess, before the deed was signed, and almost 2 years before this advertisement came out. The Supreme Court case was argued in January of 1948 and decided in May of 1948. The Browns signed the restricted covenants in December of 1948. And this advertisement, I guess you put the date down, Jan, of March 16th, 1950.
Someone at the museum.
Okay, somebody at the museum did 1950.
Yeah.
So they had to know. I mean, these were real estate people working in real estate, and Brown was a developer. And this just says to me, you are not welcome, even if we can't enforce this. I mean, to put this in River Forest's Newest Restricted Development by Martin H. Brown is, I'm sorry, it's reprehensible to me.
But
I totally agree, and the outcome of the Shelley v. Kramer case was equally as bad. But I think one day he said designer builder. He was the developer. He was not the builder nor the architect of these. And I think we have to be able to separate the art from the patron or the patron or the person, I suppose, who paid for it and built it. The art can stand alone on itself, versus whatever the restrictions were, which are fairly common in the time. I've read some, when we're doing a cabin in a cottage in Wisconsin or Indiana, and the old covenants read, no Catholics, no Jewish people, or no blacks, of course. All three of them were listed on it. It's still written down, these things. Like before the Supreme Court did strike them down, but you see they hung on for a long time. That code word restricted was the killer. But I think as long as we're transparent and open about what went on and what happened, and again, we're looking at this as an historic example of a wonderful historic example of mid-century modern architecture that is in our, it's actually pretty rare to have that many homes grouped together of that exact style. It reminds a little bit of a William Street in our neighborhood again. And it's pretty rare and pretty unique, and I think worthy of being protected as an historic style of architecture. And that should stand alone.
A couple of things I want to add. I'd like to listen to everybody, then I'll offer my thoughts. Sort of the factual thing to pick up on what Carl has said. Decision basically says you could do these things in private, you just can't sue to enforce them. In 1968, the federal government passed the Fair Housing Act, which, among other things, prohibited discrimination and transfer of properties based upon race or color, religion, sex, national origin, family status, or disability. Plus, in the interim, a number of states passed legislation saying that these were unenforceable. And within the last 2 years, I think, the state of Illinois has passed legislation which allows property owners to go back and to remove these things from the chain of title to their properties to the extent that they wish to do that. But I didn't want to, I've got a lot more to say, but I just wanted to listen to, and I know that Shock, you have a lot to say, but I wanted to listen to everybody beforehand.
I am curious if you did research into all our homes will we find similar deeds? I suspect maybe we would, or to a certain extent. But what is tough on this one is this is a grouping, right? It's a grouping that's so blatant. But I feel we're here to talk about the architecture, right? And the preservation of the architecture. While it's very hard to separate the two, my feeling is probably that, as long as we're transparent, as David mentioned, that it might still be worth working down that road. Silly example, but I think I wrote the day that look at a Monticello or something like that. These great historic homes that slave owners, all sorts of things that do not protect those. Now that's an extreme example, and it probably doesn't make sense in this, but. I do think that we need to separate the architecture from the social issues that were going on at the time.
Yeah, great.
Scott?
Was this originally brought up at one of our meetings because we were considering naming an area?
Oh, no. We didn't. What we're going to do is there was some discussion about creating a district, and we didn't know how we were going to do it. There was some thought, maybe you name it with Braun's name, maybe you just call it a mid-century modern district, maybe you just recognize the homes. There's a whole lot of different options. And, there was no great, my gut reaction is not knowing anything about Mr. Braun was to further do a little bit of exploration and see what was going on, because I didn't want to put the village's stamp of approval effectively. I don't care how common it was then. It's just, it's despicable, it's reprehensible, and I don't want to be behind it. But that's, in terms of attaching his name, but I'm getting ahead of myself.
That's it.
Okay. Jan?
Yeah, I've been thinking about this a lot, and separating the art from the artist is, I don't want, if you want to talk about Martin Braun or anybody else, I think that's up to our historical society, because they, they do not shy away from history. And that is one thing that they've talked about, that, warts and all, that they're going to tell stories. That's not up to us. It is a great little enclave, and it's intact. And even the house that got the second story that the survey team said was probably a teardown, it's not from what we found. It's just a full second story from documents that Luke provided through the FOIA and other things that we found. So it is intact. And most of them were designed by Martin Braun. I have no interest in lauding Martin Braun. So whatever we do, and it would be nice if we could bring about another development that we have, like William, 700 block of William. And geez, we don't even know if there was a covenant on those.
Good point.
1915.
Yes, but this was post, Shelley v. Kramer. This was not 1915.
But from what I'm saying is, I don't know how, what we could do. And I think we had kicked this around before about, do we make it a separate little historic district? But no, that's a big deal to go through. Do we put up an honorary street sign? But what do we put on it? I don't want Martin's name, Braun's name for that. And yet somebody, I think at some point, if we use some kind of recognition, somebody's going to ask, who did this?
This ad's going to come out.
But at some point, somebody will say, well, looks like you didn't just have 15 or 17 separate owners buying a piece of property and hiring someone to put up a mid-century modern house. It was developed just like 700 block road. So I think that we would eventually get some frustration. Gee, that's really cool. Yeah, that's right. We never really noticed that area. And who did that? Who was
it? Is Braun down as the architect?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is.
Yes.
He's listed as an architect developer.
Yeah.
And there was a subsequent interview with his wife.
Yes, the news article.
Jan unearthed months ago that indicated that she said he was the architect and developer of those homes.
Did he have an Illinois license?
Did you ever do Martindale over in Riverside? Mm-hmm. That's him.
He apparently was fairly prolific.
It's Martin. And that's why houses. And another weird thing is I found a news article. I think it was around. So over in Oak Park, there was a group of architects and civic-minded people who were trying to find an area and build some housing for returning veterans. And I thought, what are they going to do there? segregate that. Yeah, I just was wondering about this good deed. We have a lot of veterans. Like what? They're not Caucasian.
Oh, but not after the Second World War, when this was, the Army, the armed services were still segregated.
So, and so who would the returning be? So I thought it was kind of interesting that he would be part of this. And it's not only blacks, it's Asians.
Oh, everybody. I mean, it was anybody
non-Caucasian.
White.
Yeah.
I mean, I read an article in the New York Times, I think 3 or 4 years ago, which is entitled, "When Did Italians Start to Be White?" Because they weren't.
When
yeah.
Did they?
I mean, you know, so, I mean,
so I guess everyone. We know it's there. We know it's an impressive little enclave. But I don't know how we put a stamp on it and avoid anything else come out. We don't want to hide it. If somebody asks.
Anyways, it could be a teachable moment, but I don't know if that's what we're in the business of.
That's not our charter.
Right,
exactly. That's our charter.
Right.
I think that's the historical society.
Right.
And let them have it.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
And I think it would be maybe something, I think it would be a good story.
Right.
For.
I think it's a great story to talk about. Yeah.
At the historical.
Maybe stirring up something you don't want to stir up.
Well, the Historical Society can handle it. If they want, they already know.
Yeah, but I mean, we'd have to vote on it, right?
No.
No.
Oh, I mean, but to.
Yeah, at some point in the future.
We have to do something.
Yeah.
If we want to.
Carla, do you feel this shit like we should not even touch this thing?
I don't think we should touch it. Or. To contact the board of, you know, the board and, you know, the trustees and ask them to weigh in on it. I mean, because I think this is something I don't want to touch.
Yeah, you know, you're right. We probably should make the board aware of it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is nothing unusual. Lake Forest College did a big thing on suburbs with restricted colonies in it. Now, River Forest, I couldn't find, but maybe it only went up to 1948. And I mean, there are many, many communities which had them. They're very similar to the one, you know, the Brown signed for this. And, you know, so I mean, that is in River Forest is certainly not unusual for the time, and they went on for the whole 20th century. But, you know, right after this, I think it was 1952, maybe I said this last meeting, Richard Nixon bought a house with a restricted covenant. Well, he was running for vice president of the United States. And I mean, it was a big thing. And then Chief Justice William Rehnquist also bought a house. And I mean, this is D.C. I mean, this is, of course, the South. But, I mean, I do not feel that this commission should touch this without going to the board
first.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, Phyllis, we in no way want to memorialize Braun or...
Mm-hmm.
Or statute of wrong, do anything to give them credit for that earned. Well, I agree. It's worth asking, I think, to talk to the board first and let them be aware.
Our findings.
Mm-hmm.
So. I agree. Yeah.
Thoughts?
No, that makes total sense. Yeah, glad I went last because. Seems like a very
shitty. Well, not quite
last. I'll be fine. But,
okay. It was so shocking. I got some thoughts. First off, I familial experience. My dad's parents were from Central Europe. It was then the Austro-Hungarian Empire. They immigrated to the U.S. in 1911. My mom's parents immigrated the same year from what is Ukraine. My dad was raised in Bayonne, New Jersey, across the river from New York City, in the kind of multiple family housing that you would associate with immigrants of that time. And he used to tell me that there were frequent cross burnings in his neighborhood by the Ku Klux Klan because they were Catholic. The Klan at that time was against Catholics, people of the Jewish faith, blacks, anybody that they described as other, however they described them. They also were very powerful. There's a famous instance of tens of thousands of people marching in Washington, D.C., past the Capitol and the White House, in their Klan robes, to a lot of public adulation. I think we need to recognize some of the awful occurrences of the past. That does not mean that we should memorialize them or celebrate them in any circumstances, including the people. And clearly, Mr. Braun thought this was a good idea. This was, you know, not a small advertisement. As Carla points out, it's after Shelley v. Kramer, which basically said, well, you can't enforce, but that doesn't mean you can't do it consensually. I noticed, by the way, that one of the attorneys on behalf of the folks who were bringing suit against this covenant was Thurgood Marshall, later renowned justice of the Supreme Court. The reason why I want to talk about this is before we get involved with the survey, I thought and think that we needed to understand where we were individually and collectively as a group. I think there are a number of ways to address this. There's two things I heard tonight from the commissioners that I think are important, among others. Two things really stood out. One is the concept of asking the village board for their thoughts. Certainly make them aware of it. I think it is a circumstance where if careful research was done on all the other properties in River Forest outside this district, including those who are contemporaneous to this potential district, these potential areas of mid-century homes, that this was not unheard of. I don't know how common it was. There may, in fact, be homes that we have recognized as significance. They may have one of these things in their deep recesses. Just based upon numbers, it wouldn't surprise me that there's something out there. People, even today, have this strange propensity to view people that aren't like them as others and somehow point fingers and scapegoat. And it's all reprehensible, in my opinion. I think the other thing I heard was Jan's comment about, okay, so if we memorialize this as a district because they're all similar, I think the natural question is, oh, who did this? And I don't know, other than stating what's factually obvious, how you can respond to that otherwise. I agree with what a couple of people have said. I think this is potentially, it's a difficult circumstance. There's no easy anything. I think it's a potentially really good teachable moment in this day and time as to how we approach this. We don't have to make any kind of decisions, but I did want to get some sense as to what the individual commissioners thought, and collectively we think, before we got into something much more, you know, deeply involved in terms of looking at this as an addition to the, certainly the survey, and see what whatever the survey holds. So whether, you know, some or all or none of these homes are worthy at this point in time, now that we've passed the 50-year threshold. So those are my thoughts. Does anyone have any comments based upon what I said, Carl?
Yeah, and this is because, you know, people have said, well, we have to separate the art from the basically the politics of it. I'm thinking of two films, which probably everybody's seen. One is Birth of a Nation. The other is, I can't even remember the name of it. Very famous. Vivian Leigh and Clark Gable.
Oh,
Gone with the Wind. I mean, my God, my brain went out. Gone with the Wind. And those two films are so, today, are so controversial, they're not being shown anywhere because what they show is so reprehensible, repellent. And yeah, you do, you have to, you can always say, well, it's something of the time where we can separate, you know, this person's racial animosity towards anyone who's not white from the architecture. I don't believe that. I just don't believe that anymore. I mean, there are films and there's theater and there is dance and there is art that I will not go and I have to pay. Even if I don't have to pay, I don't do it. And that's it. For me, it's not just this. It involves a whole lot of controversial things that I just don't feel I want to spend my time or my dollars to patronize or support. You know, those artists. So that's how I feel. I feel very strongly about that.
John, I don't think your example of Jefferson and Monticello are all that far off. It's a, would you not tour Monticello?
I don't know if I would today. I mean, mm-hmm. I have toured Monticello. I have toured Mount Vernon. Mm-hmm. But I think if you look at what's going on in the world, and I mean, Jefferson has been vilified in the past few years. Washington, too. I mean, you have a San Francisco school board who's taken the name of Washington and Jefferson off their schools, their elementary schools. Now, you know, but yeah, I mean, and you can say, well, that's that is, you know, that's the 18th century, but.
I guess if it's done with an educational bent, then. I mean, without that, then you're banning books.
I mean, right. Just... But I think that's really out in the open today, Jefferson. Mm-hmm. as not only a slave owner, but the rapist of his slaves who bore him children. But I don't see there any way of doing this and not talking about what's in this advertisement.
Oh, absolutely.
What's in the deal. But I'm not willing to. I mean, I just, to give you an example, I grew up in Baltimore. So my best friends own the two biggest department stores in the city. Their lunchrooms, which are beautiful, were segregated. They were segregated until, let's say, like 1959. They had to have security at their houses. They had death threats for integrating their restaurants. I mean, and my father was almost court-martialed for integrating violent psychiatric ward that he was in charge of at Keister Field Air Force Base in Biloxi, Mississippi. He integrated psychiatric wards. I mean, these are things, you know, this is all in my lifetime. And, you know, people forget, unless you have, I bring up the name of a presidential candidate now, who thinks of, well, we're all vermin, aren't we? Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at our ordinance, and we're supposed to foster civic pride in the accomplishments of the past as manifested in properties, structures, improvements, and areas of historical and architectural significance, and to foster and encourage preservation. Restoration, continued utilization of these areas, properties, sites, objects valued by the village and its residents is significant to the village history, culture, and architecture. And I'm not too sure that in this case that this is what was on people's minds when this was written. It was not. Segregation, yeah. And discrimination. We want to do, I think, what Preservation Commission has been doing, which is to try to embrace what we have, identify, preserve, and enhance the distinctive character, history, and architectural heritage of the village. And I think Rye's trying to think of ways, especially with these 17 or 20 properties that are now more than 50 years old, or some where we found some historical facts that don't seem to be controversial. But in this case, yeah, I don't think that, this just kind of hit us. I mean, if this ad was not at the museum in a file, we wouldn't even know. Mm-hmm. And we would not have known about Martin Braun and his wife, because she's her signature is on the deed too. All we would have known was the FOIA request that he's the architect.
And you just happened to pull this out and then went to get the,
got that,
the deed.
And that.
Got the deed.
You, and that's how that came about. But it's certainly just it's unfortunate.
We'll try to find out if he is in fact on the list of licensed architects in Illinois. Yeah. As an architect, I do.
Yeah. I think it's important to have the conversation that we're having, because it's, while I don't like what we found. I'm glad if it was out there, we found it. And that's why I sort of suggested that, you know, my antenna was up, not wishing to add any plaudits to someone we didn't know anything about. There are a number of people who were involved over the years with real estate who made comments, did some pretty reprehensible things. A couple of summers ago, Mary and I were in Grand Rapids, and we toured Edsel Ford's home. The exterior was done by Jens Jensen, and they are candid about some of his statements as to the workers and whom he did not, whom he thought that Ford should never employ.
Jens Jensen.
Yes, yeah. Jensen. Yeah. Now, I know that just doing some quick Googling, Highland Park looked at this issue probably 10 or 12 years ago. I don't know if they ever came to a resolution because I think there's a park up there that specifically, or at least they were considering, maybe Jens Jensen's park. I don't know if they are or they aren't. In addition to the law, someone whose training is also in the area of history, this whole thing reminds me of the importance and the difficulty of what has been raised with monuments to Confederate leaders and generals. What do you do when you've got something there? And the responses are all over the place, from take them down, melting them away, leaving them up.
Put them in a museum.
Putting a museum, having some kind of teachable moment where you explain what's going on, and you talk about the time and when these things were put up. Most of them were put up to extol the lost cause well past the time of the memory of most people. These things didn't go up in the 1870s. They went up in the late 1890s to about 1925. It was intentional as to what they were doing. I don't know. And I don't know that there's a perfect solution, and I don't know that we need to come to a solution, but I think it's important to have that discussion and to think about it. And to, I think it's probably appropriate, though, at least from my perspective, that we look at these properties in terms of a survey, because some of the homes on the survey are actually beyond this mid-century modern stuff. There are several others. And just see what goes on. Does anyone have any thoughts about that?
You mean like try and find out if there's a...
No, simply put, I think we should go forward with a survey to look at these properties to determine whether, in fact, there's something of significance, and we're just not, you know, sending off an alarm. Oh, you know, right now, this is kind of like the caution flag. This is the flashing yellow as opposed to the red stop sign or the green go sign. To say, okay, now that we know this, we just got to get this stuff out. Certainly within our group. I think the idea of putting this in front of the village board to let them, to give them some sense is probably appropriate. God knows they got other stuff on the plate too.
Well, I agree, Dave. A majority of the great architecture was either done on the backs of peasants or you got to separate. But the building itself and how it was built are two different things. They're certainly both very educational in their own rights.
Yeah, the Capitol was built by slaves.
Mm-hmm. Washington was laid out by a gentleman, we believe, of mixed Haitian and French ancestry, Pierre L'Enfant. So, I mean, there's just a whole lot of stuff going on.
This brings up a lot of things. Did we bring up the statues? It's interesting. I was in Portland last summer and took a tour of downtown Portland. Basically became a tour of the basis of the statues. You just walked up the street.
Yeah.
And, you know, Lincoln was here, but he had signed something that was the local Lincoln, proposed to. And so they took Lincoln down and they go up to the next block. And I think it gave me pause, you know. So,
Monument Avenue in Richmond had been sort of a whole series of statues that were the Confederate general's greatest hits. There was, I don't know if you saw it, I don't know if it's even still there, there was a massive arc statue with columns, the center of which I believe was a large statue of Jefferson Davis in those states which had seceded, as well as those that had sent troops to the Confederacy despite the fact that they had not seceded. Maryland, Kentucky, Missouri, and I believe there might have been some Confederates from the southern part of Delaware as well, which was a slave state at the time of the Civil War. And that was, the reason why that all hit the fan, as I understand it, in Richmond, is someone had proposed adding as a statue on Monument Avenue a memorial to a notable 20th century famous, internationally famous son of Richmond, Arthur Ashe. And that's when it hit the fan. And people started to say, oof, what's all this about? There's also, if the Virginia State House is on a hill, At the base of the hill, there are two buildings off sort of toward where the medical school is for Virginia Commonwealth University. One is a so-called former Confederate White House. The other is a building that's known as the Museum of the Confederacy. It was established by the Daughters of the Confederacy. I don't know specifically when, but I found it chilling in that the if you were going to come up with a list of objects that you wish to use to memorialize people militarily of the Confederacy, Jeb Stuart's plumed cavalry hat and gauntlets, Robert E. Lee's campaign tent and writing desk, innumerable uniforms, bloodstained with the bullet holes where Confederate generals had died in battle, to praise the Confederacy, this would have been it. This was the holy of holies for those folks. I found that upsetting when I saw it 20 years ago. I don't know to what extent it's changed, perhaps somewhat, perhaps not. But this it's a very... It's an issue that's certainly much broader than our community. It's much broader than historic preservation. It's broader than much individual houses. But now that we've touched on it, I don't think we can avoid some kind of response, whether that that's both in terms of, okay, let's make the village board aware. Let's go forward and see if, in fact, absent anything else, These properties that were in bronze little cluster were worthy of some kind of recognition. If you separate everything else, I'm not saying you can. I'm just saying if you could. And then, armed with all that and all the further information, as well as whatever thoughts we may have, whatever things we may do as individual research ourselves and just thinking about it hard, whatever we come up with.
One of the houses, Braun didn't design it, but it was part of the Braun, is actually on our significant property list. And I think it's on the market right now. But yeah, and so there was never, and it might have been owned by Markward, the realtor guys. But yeah. I did not look up that deed.
Correct me if I'm wrong, too. The commission, when we first discussed this, I think Commissioner Rainwagen pointed out you were kind of like, Ron, I think we should check this dude out.
Yeah,
I recall
that. Yeah. But then we found out that, or someone found out that he had sold a home to
Percy Julian.
Yes.
So that he seemed okay.
Yes. And that was sort of the.
Yeah. Yeah. I recall that.
Money's the same color, isn't it? And I don't mean to make light of it.
Yeah, the house, the significant, it's right north of the Winslow house.
Right.
Okay. But I'm not going to go downtown. It takes a long time to look up these old deeds. Yeah, go to this book and then go to that book and then go over to that book. And they're very helpful down there in the basement. Mm-hmm. But it takes time.
Oh. You can't just call on.
No, no, they have codes, these yeah. three number, and then it's possible that that house on the significant property was.
I think if there's a restrictive covenant on one, given this advertisement, I would be surprised if other properties simultaneously developed by the same individual or individuals don't contain the same thing.
I'm convinced they do.
Yeah.
I think that's just because of what that ad says.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is
development.
And the newest.
The newest, I know.
Yes.
What could that mean?
Yeah.
Where could that be? So, anyway, yeah.
Does anyone else have anything else about this topic? At least for the time being. I mean, my general sense is collectively we want to go forward with a survey,
like I can,
to see what's going on.
I can say what this bled into was your basic ranch house was mid-century modern, and these are prime examples of what ranch houses could have been. Became so watered down, they were just a big hip roof, and that's it. These were what Charles Ames and everybody in that period was shooting for. So they're I'm sure they're going to get. I'm not sure, but I guess they'll get a high recommendation from the survey people. But just give everybody a heads up. I think that's
better. It would not surprise me. I mean, the fact that the survey initially said that, oh, by the way, you may want to consider these once they pass the 50-year threshold, because that's one of the bright line designations as to whether something is preservation, whether it's more than 50 years old. And these hadn't been. There was a list, so.
But did that list include the bond?
Probably not, because it's probably historic district.
Yeah, so I know where the bond, those River Oaks houses aren't.
They're not?
No.
I thought they were.
They're on Ashland and Augusta and Oakland and nothing was the River Oaks. So when you say go forward with the survey, this is now something else.
Okay.
So what are we talking about then?
Well, by going forward with the survey, the proposal that Doug Gilbert responded to look at, I think it's 17 homes, some of which you ascertained have connections to people of significance in the village.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Some of which, majority of which fall into this River Oaks, Auvergne cluster.
Well,
you're saying none of those homes are in that?
Correct. Yeah, nothing in River Oaks. So these, from the survey, and then what we found at the museum through research for house walks were 100-year-old houses, but none of those were on River, obviously not on River Oaks.
Are there photos of any of those houses in our survey?
Which
River Oaks?
They're the river, they're in the searchable database mm-hmm. online. And it's still working. Yeah. I just checked. Yeah.
Okay. So just for the record, these are not on the 17 to 19. No, nothing to remember. Oaks is on that list from Doug.
They are.
They are?
I believe they are.
Wait, River Oaks? Here's the list.
Because it's not in the historic district. We have to have a new district established.
Besides this list.
You're right. They don't.
But we've got some outliers besides this list.
Yeah.
629.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are part of it. Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
I think, and what I Scott was bringing up, we earlier, yeah, we were looking at that triangle as something separate, like the 700 block of William.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a separate circle.
It's incorrect.
I thought they mentioned it too, Dave, just so you don't.
But anyway, as far as.
It doesn't really matter. They're 50 years.
But the pictures of those River Oaks houses, they're in the searchable database.
So do we want to add those to the. Or is that the first step?
I would think we. Might
well, if there if
take this to the board saying this is a new area.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you, Carla.
Oh, I'm
and
sorry.
I don't think we can okay. we can hear you on the recording.
Take this to the board first before we can consider it.
I mean, I think the whole thing comes out of do we want to make this a district?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where it comes from. I apologize. I was wrong.
I was thinking about the Southern monuments, but there was one in North Carolina for Braxton Bragg, and he should come down. I heard that he was just a despicable human being, even his own troops wanted to shoot him. And then after the war was over, he went into private business and nobody wanted to work with him. So he doesn't even in the South, he doesn't deserve Filling time.
I think what happened is that he became a railroad executive for Northern Railroad. That kind of
was that?
Gets right. Yeah, he he was a difficult personality,
yeah.
According to historians.
He's
and he lost basically most major battles, including much of eastern central Tennessee and Atlanta. So, go Fort Braxton.
Yeah.
For naming military bases off these folks is it all comes from the desire in the late 1890s to reintegrate former Confederate soldiers into the military, specifically to add them as troops for the Spanish-American War in 1898, including the couple of people who were at positions of high command in that, one of whom had been a senior Confederate cavalry general who was elevated specifically in order to recruit because of the what people thought at the time was the Southern military tradition that did not exist in other places in the country. My understanding what the argument was at the time, not endorsing it. So, oh, well.
All right. So, okay, so this item, okay, so the Braun thing. We should look at each house as a possible.
I think we can do this. I don't think the survey is going to get done before the snow flies. I mean, it can happen. Therefore, I think we can alert the village board to the fact that there have been discussions about making these properties a district. That research indicates restrictive covenant in this district. That the commission feels strongly, I think, I mean, my general sense without a vote is that there's no one here that wants to attach Mr. Braun's name to anything. I don't see anybody disputing that. I think that the question is, do we want to do anything with these homes individually? And if we do, the time would be to add them to the survey. It would increase the cost of the survey to some extent. But, you know, I think once we have exhumed this issue, I don't think we can say, boy, dodge that one. That's not part of the original list for the survey. We can forget about that and just bury that sucker. I think we need to at least put it out there.
What's different for individual homes versus a district? Mid-century modern district.
It's...
I think that's just came to the board. I can agree with that.
That's what it is, really.
Well,
it's a mid-century modern district.
Yes. Yeah. Now, I said that there are probably three ways to look at this. That I can think of, there's potentially, obviously, many more, I guess. One is individual homes as individual homes, homes as part of a district, mid-century district, homes as part of the Martin H. Braun mid-century district. I don't see anybody voting for door number three.
No, that's the one with the lion behind it.
Yeah, all right, we'll have to separate that.
So. Yeah. So the question is, you know,
separate as art versus artist, I guess, but not to
we get back to
what Braun was about.
Yeah.
Now we get back to the discussion. Yeah. Of, who did these?
Yeah.
And that's
all the homes, significant homes, have something about the architect.
Good point.
Not true. Ours is significant. We have no idea who the architect
was. Unless you don't know who the architect
was. I know who the builder was, but I have no idea. Yeah. It was the first owner, but I have no idea who the architect was.
So if you know the architect, you have to put it in.
What my own part about Martin Braun was. I explained here are his views. This was a restricted district.
I'm not following, Dave.
If your concerns were giving credence to Martin Braun by putting him down as the architect of these homes, as an historic district and something to be admired, we want to avoid that. And then further to explain, this was a restricted district. Martin Braun was not the architect. I'm still not convinced he designed these things. Something to that effect, so we're not memorializing him. We're just sticking to the architecture. And not giving him due of a great man, I guess. Although Frank Lloyd Wright was it.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
So,
you just mentioned Jen Jensen.
Yeah. Jens was a known.
As I said, the only thing I know about Mr. Jensen is if you go to the Edsel Ford Estate, which is outside, I believe it's Grand Rapids, they will tell you that he was the architect for the landscaping. And they will tell you in their presentation that he specifically told the Fords not to employ someone from Southern Europe or from the Southern United States. He had strong reservations for those people.
But Henry Ford was one of the great anti-Semites.
Yeah, Ford was...
All by the Ford.
Ford was so far off the rails, it's hard for us to appreciate.
The Ken Burns documentary, I think, had that about Jensen's in action.
I don't know. But, you know, we've come a long way. We still have an awful long way to come.
So, the board should know the board some options.
Yes, and I guess it's in the context of, I guess the one thing that I think we perhaps should make a determination on that tonight, while we've got everyone here, is given the cohesiveness of these designs of a specific period, do we wish to add them to the potential upcoming expansion of the survey? Not the results of the survey, but the survey itself, to see whether, in fact, they are meritorious in, you know, in a box.
$90 per property, per the any additional property outside of the ones we submitted.
Yeah.
So this would be 90 times however many homes there are.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
So.
Yeah. Like, it's definitely worth it.
So, do we want to take a vote on? Do we? I think that's a determination we can make, so that we can give some more accurate information to the village board. So,
are we voting?
Yeah. What I'm suggesting, Scott, is given the appropriate correction, for the third time, I admit error on one issue. Given the appropriate correction, that the homes in what we had initially thought about potentially examining, and depending upon the results of the examination, would create a so-called mid-century modern district, River Oaks, over in that whole area. Do we want to add those to the little mini survey that would be done? I think there's currently 17 on the list, if I remember the number.
On the mini survey?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. Do we want to add whatever this number is to that, to then determine, okay, is this something that just in and of themselves, just architecture, does someone doing the survey as an architect believe, someone who just does a lot of surveys too for a number of communities, including ours, and part of the first one, do we want to have that examined to determine whether or not this is potentially an issue? And we can then, you know, we can then say, okay, village board, we've taken a vote, this is what we think we ought to do. But even if we determine collectively, no, we're just leaving them, just putting them aside, just leaving them where they sit, I still think we need to make them aware of this.
And if you take out the Wright home and the modern stuff and one of their bad houses, I think there are 13 mid-century modern homes.
Okay. So that gets you to 30.
So potentially the survey could come back and say, well, you know, we looked at these and they're really not great examples.
Exactly. Exactly.
And,
yeah.
And then
yeah.
Then we don't have any issues.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if they are, I do think it's a rare grouping that we should continue to talk about.
Yeah. And then the question is, okay, if in fact the survey comes back and says, yeah, these are significant as a cluster, what do we want to do with that information?
Make that a motion. How do you make that a motion?
Sounds like motion.
That's
a, I think yeah. You can say the word so moved.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Loop.
Chairman Franek?
Aye.
Commissioner Forehand?
Aye.
Commissioner Sager?
Commissioner Romero?
Aye.
Commissioner Graham White?
Abstain.
Commissioner Kaczynski?
No.
And Commissioner Rainey Wagner?
Aye.
Okay. We'll see if, in fact, this is something that has got any kind of merit. But first and foremost, it'll go back to the village board. It's okay, this is what we got. This is what we're thinking. I don't think this is something that is easy for anyone. I think the whole thing is extraordinarily difficult on a lot of different levels. So, next. Additional ways to protect significant properties are catch-all. Is there anything we haven't discussed? Is there other business?
The 584 Keystone, I guess, is completely the big Second Empire. But for rumblings about what, who might be buying
it. Folks, the whole.
Apparently all of the property. No, no, it just, the in realtor.com, it just says contingent. So it's not through the whole.
Those two buildable properties? Or, yeah.
That could be a potential tear down and split.
I think there are currently two structures. There's the rather large home, and there's also a garage-esque something in the back. As to the number of lots, I don't know. I think it's fair to say that there are any number of rumors floating around.
Yeah.
And I think they are just that in terms of we don't know what it is. I don't think anybody knows. So hopefully it is someone who wishes to continue to use it as a dwelling.
Yeah. The awards, you know, when we awarded the three properties, then it kind of, we didn't have any meetings. So what did we do? Did we send people the letters and give them yard signs and
bring them to the meeting and congratulate
them.
Yeah.
The newest member brings champagne and we'll have a good time.
Yeah.
It's a big party of the year.
So where is that? Where are we?
Maybe we should do that at the next meeting.
Yeah. I think Jennifer Frank, correct me if I'm wrong, I think Matt was going to see if the village board wanted to have present them at that meeting in front of the board.
And I don't think I saw anything. Was there anything in a newsletter yet?
No.
The one thing that I would caution people, historically, we have had difficulty getting quorums from mid-November through December because of various holiday commitments. So depending upon what, we need at least four. So the numbers are out of my hands. I can't self-replicate. Is so
look at some dates now.
Yeah,
sure. Okay,
John, next one's going to be December.
28th would be the fourth Thursday, December.
I'll be out.
That's, I think that's problematic for a lot of people.
Yeah.
What's the second Thursday?
21st.
14th.
Of December?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, second Thursday. Yeah, that can work.
So,
yeah. Anybody else around? Everybody else around the 14th?
Yeah.
December?
Should be. That's
Is the main room open, Luke, or are we up here again? What's the other one?
Good question.
Seems like something could be here. We don't know. Here.
We're not so bad.
I want to say there might be something in there. A potential zoning board meeting at 7:30. So we can meet up here again, but those are tentative, and I guess it usually depends on if someone submits a variance application.
And they could get a quorum.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Is Wednesday out of the realm of possibilities?
Is there... That works even better for me. Actually, yeah.
I think I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Let's put that one down.
Yes, by meeting.
You're telling me. I have to go to the board, the zoning board. I enjoy these. When we had the DEI committee, I had to go to those as well. Those are a lot of nights that add up. And then I have a lot of times I do the minutes for them too. So there's nothing like sitting at a board meeting for 4 hours until 12 and then the next morning.
Really as much fun as we are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Listening, you have to listen to it on my headphones too, so it's all right in my ears.
Ours will be quick in December, Dave. Okay. Did I tell her one I read about the leading cause of dry skin? Bath towels. Thank you, John.
I think
that's great. That's really good.
Jan, you get it right.
Pride of my life. I love it.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
I think
unfortunately posterity now has a tape of Dave stylings. Is there a second?
A second, I motion. Second. Who was the first motion?
A lot of hands up.
Oh, okay. Well, let's go, Carl. Second. All right. Chairman Franek.
Aye.
Commissioner Forehand.
Aye.
Commissioner Sager.
Aye.
Commissioner Murr.
Aye.
Commissioner Graham White.
Aye.
Commissioner Kaczynski.
Aye.
And Commissioner Raynor Ogden.
Aye.
Adjourned at 8:36.